Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Column in the Irish Times. Joe Humphreys said he'd like to give Enoch Burke a hug, but not of congratulations so much. It was a way in to thinking about young men in general and why so many of them seem to be a little lost. Joe, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Sean.
Why do you think young men are a little lost or a little unhappy?
Well, I think, everyone is unhappy to some degree. it's not to single out men in a sense, but I guess maybe there's a reason to be especially compassionate or to think about compassion towards men specifically. And it's not a competition, that's the first thing to say, between grievances for men and women. But men, as you know, are notoriously bad about talking their feelings in the first place. They tend to bottle things up more than women do. And I think in their social networks, they tend to be slower to talk about their innermost feelings. So I suppose there's an argument to say that we should be especially kind of compassionate or patient with men who do, who are hurting in society and are struggling to express that hurt or may express that hurt in different ways. So I suppose it got me thinking, I do feel to some extent Enoch Burke, I feel for him on a human level. He's got himself into a pickle that he can't get out of. He's over 400 days in prison now, and he must feel very lonely, and it's not a nice place to be, I imagine. He must feel, somewhat persecuted. He's been punished, as he sees it, for taking a stand, whether you agree with him or not. It's quite a, if you look at it, you call it a punishment, it's quite an extreme punishment for what he's done, if you like. Now, obviously, there's reasons why he's there. He's in contempt of court. He can't get himself out of that. But and I'm not suggesting a hug will solve the problem. In fact, a letter writer this morning responded, hasn't Enoch suffered enough? Does he need hugs from Irish Times Journal? That's all he wants. But I do kind of think, he's to some extent he's become the butt of a joke, and he's people are kind of fairly unsympathetic towards his situation. And I did pose the question: would we be as unsympathetic as a young woman locked up in that way? I think, there is an extent to which people sort of projecting all sorts of male views and different things on him as a kind of representative of something, which I don't think he is. He's his own person. He's his own reasons. And I suppose that's one thing just in this whole area. I've been careful about generalising about men's grievances or what's bothering men. I mean, his case is very specific. The more broader point is, I think, if you look at Trump's election, was another kind of thought that triggered this piece was obviously there was an increase in young men voting for Trump. It wasn't overwhelming. It was about among Gen Z, sort of Generation Z under 30, it was about 50-50 voted for Trump and 50 for Harris. But it was an increase over previous years. And obviously young men were a critical constituency for Trump to increase his vote, did go up. And there was all the tech bros like Elon Musk saying how Trump was speaking to young men in a way Harris wasn't, and it's true to some extent. I mean, you have to accept that. He's obviously resonating with the hurt that men and young men are experiencing in America, and I think there are reasons for that, and I think we need to think about them in Ireland too. That social change isn't necessarily experienced the same way by men and women, or economic pressures aren't necessarily experienced the same way. Mm. And one of them being, I think for men, a lot of their identity is bound up with their job, with career trajectory, how they compare against their peers. That seems to inform a lot of the resentment or a lot of the hurt that they feel. Everybody is struggling. Let's say that young people are struggling to meet those milestones of getting a house, maybe finding a settling down, getting married if they wish, all of that, starting a family. But I think they may be experienced in different ways. And sometimes men, and especially men who grow up in a very competitive environment, can feel if they're losing in that competition, they, you know, that's something that can play on their minds and potentially take them then towards kind of feelings of resentment and feelings of anger and turning it against other people. And we've seen some of that. I mean, Trump's campaign has worked off the fears of young men, you know, finding people to blame for their woes. And we've seen this with other people as well, like Jordan Peterson famously has capitalized on, you know, the anxieties of young men to kind of point the finger of blame at feminism. Now, he'd say he's not saying it that bluntly, but I've read his books and he pretty much is saying that, that feminism is to blame for young men's woes. And what's amazing about his books is that I've read them and he's meant to be a social scientist, but there's very little, you know, social science evidence or you know, empirical evidence.
Well, I mean, there's perhaps a point there where, if you're a young man and you see previous generations of men, your father's generation and the generation before that kind of had things their own way, and now there's a profound pushback against that. And so that can start to feel like a prejudice against you if it's a move towards equalization, but it can feel like a prejudice against men.
I can see some people making that case. Yeah, I mean, I don't buy that really. I don't buy it at all. But it's, you know, the social change is affecting everybody, and some people will feel, you know, why me? They'll feel the self pity, or they'll feel that men are being particularly hardly treated. I don't see it. I the thing is, though, if people are feeling that, let's have the discussion. And I guess that's the thing. You know, I wouldn't be shutting down the conversation, and that's why, you know, let's hear from people who feel that and talk it through. And, you know, if you're feeling that, because I suppose is the argument that more women are taking jobs than men are less likely to get a job, is that the argument people are making? I don't think that's an argument I've actually heard. People, I think people throw that sort of thing out generally that, you know.
Well, actually, I'll give you an example, because the text just came in of what I was thinking of. Someone's texted in, I assume it's a woman, saying, boo hoo, women are finding their voice and men are upset. So if you are a man and you are feeling a little lost, you're going to get zero sympathy for that. So your reaction to that is you're going to be angry.
Well, you see, again, I wouldn't frame it in a man versus woman, if you like, zero sum game. Like, obviously, I wouldn't, you know, give too much credence to people who are blaming, you know, well, personally, I don't agree with the whole argument that feminism is damaging men's lives. In fact, it's been terrific for men's lives. And it's, for instance, one of the effects of feminism is it's allowed men potentially to get more involved in the lives of their children. But I think what, look, people are hurting no matter what, whether the men or women. I think sort of saying boo-hoo to men who are genuinely hurting in society isn't the most sympathetic response either. And this is where, you know, I think we need to move on from kind of the gender war and saying, well, my hurt is worse than your hurt, or we suffered for many years, it's about time you guys suffered, or whatever. I'm not suggesting either the caller is making that argument or others, but there is a kind of a lack of, I suppose, just a bit of patience with men who are trying to work through their feelings, which might not have been fully worked out in their own minds, how they feel about the situation. You know, I mean, we can shut down those voices. That, you know, we can sort of say, we, you know, your hurt doesn't matter. It's just, you know, stopping so self-pitiful, you know, take the stiff upper lip approach. But, you know, again, it's not great for society, because they're going to go off and find other people to listen to them. They're going to go, you know, find, you know, this is what Trump has found. He's got the ear of those people, because, let's say, the Democrats in the States, it would normally be on the allies of the you know, the middle class and the working class in the States. Just a lot of men don't feel that they speak to them. They speak to their concerns, but they don't represent them.
And the aforementioned Jordan Peterson plays to that feeling as well.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely plays that blame game. I mean, you know, he would, you know, make that, he's made that case, if you like, that men are feeling out of sorts because their traditional role has somehow been usurped or you know, isn't validated. I don't really get it. I don't, you know, if you think through his argument, it's not. Peterson has a habit of saying something that's partially true, and that men are struggling, but then he kind of adds this layer of blame to it. I don't see it. You know, I mean, what he does say, I suppose, to some extent, is men do get some mixed messages. You know, that on one hand, they're expected to earn loads of money. Let's say in the States, the whole dating game is quite sort of money based, and people want to know how much you earn and all of that. And if you know, and also want to kind of a, you know, there's also kind of a celebration of traditional male virtues, you know, strength and all of things like that, and courage. And then at the same time, he'd say that, well, we want men to be sympathetic and comforting and all the other things as well, and not to be telling crude jokes and whatnot. So I think those are cultural things. There's a change there, and again, you know, I think that men are struggling sometimes with the changes that are there, and obviously the changed social norms. But and I think we should accept that, but not kind of drift into the blame aspect of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are probably quite quick to condemn somebody, a man who oversteps the line, maybe in a comment or something, when they might not have a fully formed idea of what they're talking about themselves. One thing Peterson says, which I do actually think he may have a point in terms of male culture. You know, when guys are together, they often say things outrageous to one another. You know, there's almost a competition of being outrageously funny, you know, and you have comedians like that who say the kind of almost unsayable. And that sometimes drifts then into the public sphere and is picked up then in a very different context, and it lands them in an awful lot of trouble.
Yes.
So you know, there are those cultural differences are there as well.
Peterson would kind of be quite prescriptive as how he feels a man should be. And outside of that, there's probably not as much as there used to be for young men as in terms of role models or other authority figures saying to them, this is, you know, this is how a man is. So it's a little confusing for them now as to be like that. And whereas young women probably have more of a sense of who they want to be and have more role models in that regard.
Yeah, I you know, again, I'm reluctant to generalize too much because there's people have, you know, they've different they've different sets of values and so on. I do think there's probably for men and for women there was probably like one, you know, model that you followed. You know, you followed a particular path and in very traditional Irish society, you know, things were pretty homogenous. I think social change, you know, it's a big challenge for women as well. I just think the difference is that they're more likely to talk about it. You know, they're more likely to talk about their feelings, their conflicted emotions. You know, you see a lot of women who will talk about, you know, discussing having a family, maybe the grief or the kind of pain of not having children or leaving it too late, as some might see it, to have children or whatever, because the pressures of balancing work life with having a family, you know, dealing with family bereavements, looking after, caring for people in your family. Those sort of conversations don't happen among men so much. You know, you see women talking about these things a lot, like trying to work through these very difficult, challenging issues that now we're all facing in a way. Possibly men got away with it in the past and they didn't have to think about some of these things, and now they do, and they haven't really necessarily the networks that women have in terms of support there, and I mean emotional support from friends and family. So I think there are challenges there. I mean, that's one side of it, and I think the economic side is another big thing, which is to say the role model that the breadwinner. You know, a lot of men, I think, probably still feel to some degree that's something they should be doing, and if they're not kind of meeting those, economic targets they're somehow, you know, or reaching, gaining the status within their community or among their peers, they're somehow failures. I mean, I do think men possibly crave more external validation than women, you know, that their self-esteem is bound up more with what other people think of them. That may be a bit of a generalization. I don't know. There's probably some psychological research on it. I think that does affect then, you know, if they don't see themselves as being respected, or they don't see their status, you know, having a status in society, and they suffer a lot. My own dad actually suffered. He became unemployed when he was in his 50s, and it was the lowest period of his life. I mean, he'd be more of a traditional fellow, my father, but it was completely transformed in losing that status, if you like. He felt with the loss of a job, he'd lost his complete status, his place in society. So I think men feel that more acutely potentially than women, and that plays into the economic field and potentially how people are voting as well, in terms of, you know, going towards figures on the right that promise to restore something, glorious past for men and give them status again. So I think that's, you know, that's something we just need to be, I think, alive to and really be more compassionate towards men who are hurting either, you know, economically or otherwise.
Mm. Joe, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Joe Humphreys there, the writer of the always fascinating Unthinkable column in the Irish Times. Quite a lot of comment on that, unsurprisingly.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So it could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.